This is Edward October, host of October Pod on YouTube. Hear that jingle jingle? It could be Kris Kringle, or a home invader looking for an open window, a jilted lover looking for revenge, or a disgruntled co-worker hoping to spike your eggnog with arsenic. The girls of our true crime podcast are always on Santa's nice list, but the crimes they discuss are very naughty indeed. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, Cam and Jen and all of you listeners out there in the Our True Crime podcast world, we just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is Kelly Mendenhall from Anon Mom Happy Hour, the podcast that celebrates real-ass human women, whether they use their baby box or not. We hope that everybody has an amazing amount of blessings and joy in 2019. And for all of you spoonies and chronic pain people out there, may your 2019 be abundant with spoons. Take care, guys.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, Cam. How are you?
I am great.
Guess what today is?
Sunday?
Close. It's the seventh nightmare after Christmas. Seventh nightmare before Christmas. It's something like that. We're a little slap happy. We've been doing this since about 8:30 in the morning, and it is now 1:30.
This is the seventh episode
that we've done in a row. Granted, they're small. They're small mini episodes and everything, but it's still a lot.
And you can sit here and then just sometimes those things that you want to say start flying out of your mouth and you don't mean them to.
And they do.
Normally you would
the slang,
hold that in, the dribble.
All that stuff starts coming out.
Yeah, it's true. I like slang. I'm just going to say that right now. I like it.
I know you do.
And part of it is...
And I think that's fine.
Because it's funny. To me, it's funny. I don't, you know what I mean?
You're kind of poking fun at all the...
Slang words.
Yeah.
And teenagers.
Exactly.
Like, it's on purpose.
Well, you work with teenagers. I of course, prefer the King's English. Not really. I don't care.
Does the King's... Can I use an accent if I do that?
No.
I've been working on my accent.
I'm sure. We'll save that for next year.
Oh, you mean in January?
Yeah, in January. January's 9th, when we come back from our little break. Because after these 12 days of the nightmare before Christmas, we are stopping and we're taking a little hiatus. And we will be back with full-fledged, fun episodes.
Of Murder and Mayhem.
Murder and Mayhem.
I can't wait, Jen.
Espionage and intrigue. Sexy, sultry voices. On January 9th.
Yay! Ooh, speaking of sexy, sultry voices, giant shout-out and thank you to...
Edward October.
For giving us the awesome. I mean, how many people are jealous? If I had a podcast and I was listening to
somebody. I'm jealous of us.
Right?
I was listening
to somebody's podcast and they had something that was so personal. And
I know. And he did.
And funny.
And he offered to do that. Isn't that awesome? He's awesome. And those promos that we did for him are funny. We've got all our podcast friends wishing everybody a happy holidays. We totally appreciate you guys. They've made doing this a heck of a lot funner.
It really is. It's really lit. I find it very fire that we have compadres out there on the airwaves.
What Cam is saying is that she really does find our friends of other podcasts very entertaining, and she loves the help that they give us.
Jen is my slang translator. I'll be your dribble translator.
Okay, awesome. So should we start the day seven?
Day seven.
Our day seven, we have an interesting case from... Philadelphia.
Home of brotherly love.
And Harrison Graham. Well, I'm just going to dive right in here. One hot summer August day in Philadelphia in 1978, Harrison, Marty Graham, got in this huge fight with his landlord. He was ordered out of the apartment. Do you want to know why they got in a fight?
Because he didn't clean?
Kind of. There was a strange odor.
No.
Coming from his apartment. Now, that always, maybe it didn't tip people off in 1978, but now it kind of tips me off that there's something not right. You can be unclean, but a strange, obnoxious odor coming from an apartment, there's something going on there. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was evicted and made to leave the apartment, but before he did, he nailed the door to his bedroom shut, and then he completely disappeared.
Wait, because did he have something in there?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Me too.
Since the smell was so bad, the police were called to investigate. The first officer to arrive looked through the keyhole in the bedroom and saw a black woman's naked legs. So he knocked.
Oh, no.
And he said, hey, it's police, open up. Nothing happened. Then the medical examiner came. The investigator was able to force the door down. And once they did, the smell just was worse.
Knocked him out.
Inside, they found a nude female on a mattress. She had been dead for quite some time.
She was smelling, I would think so.
Next to the mattress on a pile of trash was another female corpse.
What? Okay.
So a homicide detective is now called in, and he joined the search team. And around 3:45 that afternoon, they turned up a third set of remains.
In the apartment?
In the apartment.
No wonder it stunk, and it took that guy that long to figure that out?
Wrapped up in two sheets and buried under debris, the trash that the second woman was under.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. These were almost skeletal remains. And
nobody complained about the stench?
Thank you.
Till then?
I know. They had the clothing that they had on, tatters, just shreds. And less than 2 hours later, they turned up a fourth set of mummified remains.
In his apartment.
Mm-hmm. At 5:30, a fifth body was found and pulled out of another area of trash.
Five people are in his apartment, mm-hmm. and they don't... Okay.
The weird detail about this one...
Like the other details aren't weird, but okay.
They couldn't tell if it was a he or a she because it was sandwiched between the two mattresses.
Did he sleep on that mattress?
The searchers wondered if the evicted tenant, this Harrison Graham, actually slept on top of the mattress with the victim underneath. They said it kind of reminded him, you know how you press and dry flowers mm-hmm. in a book? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of how the body was. It appeared that this tenant, this Harrison Graham, had actually slept in the adjoining room to this, what they called his private mausoleum type thing.
Well, so I'm scared to death to go on with the story and see what he does with these people.
2 hours went by.
If I'm going to throw up, let me know early.
Okay. They found another body that was crammed inside this like little 6-inch deep closet.
6-inch?
Mm-hmm.
6-inch.
6-inch. So it was 6 inches deep. And it was crammed in there.
Inches? Like this much?
That's what it said. Yeah. 6 inches. A 6-inch deep closet. It doesn't say how. It just says that it was crammed inside a tiny 6-inch deep closet.
What body count is this up to? How many are we at?
Six.
Okay.
The body was wrapped in the sheet and it was tied with a white electrical cord. And then after that, the seventh victim, or the seventh decomposed body, was found outside the window on the roof.
Nobody noticed that either?
I got me. I know people are always told to mind their own business, but come on.
This is in Philadelphia, the city of bodily love? Like, come on now.
I don't know. Now they had to search for Harrison. They found all the bodies. They had to search for Harrison.
Thank goodness he nailed that door shut.
They had to search for him. The only thing that they knew that Harrison took was a water bottle, some clothing, and an old, raggedy Cookie Monster plushie.
Come again? Like a stuffed animal.
Like a stuffed animal of Cookie Monster from Sesame Street. When the investigators started looking at Harrison Graham, they learned that he was known to take long walks, and he liked to play basketball with the local kids in the area. He also liked to entertain the kids with his Cookie Monster. He brought his Cookie Monster with him.
Was he?
Other neighbors said, of course, he was a loner. They always say he's a loner, right?
But he seemed like a really nice guy.
Seems like a really nice guy. Yeah. But they said that when he got drunk, he tended to act a little crazy. And he talked to his puppet all the time.
He has a puppet. Let's talk about that.
Cookie Monster puppet.
As a grown man.
Yeah. Harrison's mom told him, just turn yourself in. After a week, Harrison turned himself in and he was promptly arrested. When they first asked him... you're going to like this. When they first asked him about the bodies that were in his apartment, you know what he said?
I'm scared.
Well, they were there when I moved in.
Oh, yeah. That's why I didn't get rid of them.
I go to look an apartment, if it smells really bad.
Just get a good room deodorizer.
What about this trash here? Oh, that's okay. I'll rent it anyway.
Don't mind the foot. It's okay.
Yeah. So, finally he confessed to killing the women that were found in his apartment.
In his apartment.
Right.
Rotting.
Or mummified. Yeah.
Did he have any mummy issues? I was going to ask if he had mummy issues.
That's bad.
I know, but did he have
that's
any?
So bad.
Do we know?
Not that I know of. That I didn't find a lot of stuff on him. But I didn't really look that hard either. But
okay,
I didn't.
I got you.
I didn't. All these cases, I'll just state this right here. All these cases, we really didn't research as well as what we normally do, because we wanted to hurry up and get these out, because we just really came up with this idea not too long ago. And as we do things.
That's how we roll.
Seat of our pants all the time.
Slang.
Always by the seat of our pants.
It's best that way.
It is. It's more fun.
Yeah.
He finally confessed to killing these women. But
they weren't, in fact, just part of the apartment.
Right. It wasn't part of his lease. He didn't have to keep them or anything like that. But he was kind of hazy on how that happened. He thinks he accidentally killed them during sex.
Oh, all of them? And just kept them.
And he could have been under the influence of drugs at the time. And he was really sorry. Really sorry. He went to trial and he decided on doing a bench trial where the judge,
because
he knew that God only knows what the jury would do. You know, they gather everything up for evidence. And one of the things that was taken for evidence was the Cookie Monster puppet.
You know what? Oh my God. Okay.
And he kind of was upset about it and he asked to have it back.
Cookie Monster.
To go to jail. He wanted his Cookie Monster puppet in jail with him because he slept with it.
Are you kidding me right now?
But they wouldn't let him.
Are you joking?
No.
How old was he?
Tell you the truth, I don't know.
Okay, that's okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah. He was he wasn't young. Middle-aged, maybe? The puppet had to remain in evidence, obviously, so he wasn't given his puppet.
I wouldn't even want to touch that puppet. Lord knows what he did with that puppet.
Yeah, I know. His defense attorney, when he was starting to prepare, he was trying to do the best that he could for Harrison Graham. I mean, how do you defend this guy? He admitted to it. Bodies are all over his apartment.
They came with the apartment, though, Jen.
I know. I was holding it for a friend. He decided he wasn't going to do an insanity plea. Harrison Graham had multiple personality disorder.
Oh.
Harrison Frank Jr. was presented as having three distinct personalities. Mm-hmm. First, there's Frank. He was a foul-mouthed drug addict and the murderer. Mm-hmm. So Frank was responsible for all the murders. Mm-hmm. Junior was the unmanageable, out-of-control 2-year-old who loved Cookie Monster.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then there was Marty, who was the happy-go-lucky, likable handyman.
With a heart of gold.
Who was the one that was complying with the police.
Oh.
It was kind of like Schneider.
Well, thank gosh he came out.
Yeah. It went before the judge, and the judge was going to decide what was going to happen. And the prosecutor came up with some very powerful witnesses. Two women came up on stand. Both said that they had lived with Graham. Obviously, they survived, but they just barely survived.
They lived with him?
They lived with him.
Not in that apartment.
I have no idea. I would hope not. I seriously would hope not. One woman testified that during sex, he would place his hands around her throat and squeeze.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, to each their own, maybe. Get your freak on, whatever takes. Several times.
I think the Cookie Monster would be my number one.
That'd be
a giant red flag.
Yeah, that would be my nope and get the hell out of Dodge. Several times, she actually thought that he was going to kill her because he put so much pressure. And she had claimed that he had actually told her that he had killed one of his former girlfriends out of anger.
Oh, okay.
The second witness confirmed that Harrison Graham had confessed to killing the prior girlfriend also, and he threatened this second witness with a machete.
It sounds like somebody's an angel. Bring him to mom.
I know. Get that dinner ready, mom. I've got a friend. The defense attorney then asked the second witness to pull the crusty Cookie Monster puppet.
I told you it was crusty. I knew he was
out of the bag of
thing.
Items. And she didn't even want to touch it. She really didn't. She admitted that he chatted with it every day that she'd lived with him. That he talked to this Cookie Monster puppet. I don't know if it spoke back, but
in his head it probably did.
It might have. A psychiatrist for the defense said that since Harrison Graham couldn't recall the first 5 murders, that it wasn't possible to judge his mental state at the time of those crimes. However, during the last 2 incidents, he'd hallucinated that the voices of both God and the devil had been through his head. So he had been psychotic.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Nevertheless, the judge found Graham guilty on all counts of first-degree murder and abuse of a corpse.
And abuse of poor Cookie Monster.
I know.
We've ruined chili. We've ruined Cookie Monster.
I know.
What was the other food thing? Cereal.
When the judge came down with the sentence, Harrison Graham just blinked and kind of shook his head. And then later, his lawyer told reporters, he's like, I'm assuming he knows that he was found guilty, but I'm not really sure if he does.
Mm-hmm.
No. And then once again, Graham's like, can I have Cookie Monster back now? He was worried about getting Cookie Monster. He needed Cookie Monster back. When it was time for sentencing Harrison Graham, the judge gave him a mix. He got both life without parole and the death penalty.
How's that work?
Well, it's very unusual, or what this article tells me, it was very unusual. The judge decided that Graham couldn't be executed until he'd served out his life sentences.
Was that to appease the public?
Maybe.
I would say so.
So basically, right? It just meant he would serve life.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And then they'd execute him.
Yeah.
Basically, it was probably just to appease everybody, I would think. However, his sentences went through the usual amount of challenges until the death sentence was vacated.
Was Cookie Monster found guilty of anything?
Hanging out with the wrong crowd. You gotta watch who you hang out with, kids. The death sentences in Pennsylvania, I guess, were vacated in 2003. And due to his low IQ and onset of early mental illness, I'm kind of thinking there might have been not so early mental illness.
I think there was some stuff
there. But he was considered not to be competent to execute, which he wasn't going to be executed anyway.
Right.
I mean, the judge made sure that he wasn't going to be executed. But, you know, as they all do, guess what he did when he was in jail?
Apply for a job at Sesame Street.
No, close. He became a minister.
Second.
An ordained minister. Yeah. In case you are wondering why you never have heard of Harrison Graham.
I was wondering that just now.
Right. It seems that a few months before Harrison was arrested, a fellow Philadelphian by the name of Gary M. Heidnick was arrested for similar crimes. This guy kidnapped, tortured, and raped 6 black women, killing 2 of them, and then he held them prisoner in a pit in his basement.
Ew.
Heidnick, H-E-I-D-N-I-K, was sentenced to death and executed by lethal injection in July of 1999.
I guess that was a more... It took precedent.
While Graham still got publicity in the local area, mm-hmm. It didn't gain the national exposure that the other one did. There's a criminal justice professor by the name of Anthony Walsh that thinks that the lack of media attention given to Harrison and his crimes is symptomatic of a broader unawareness or neglect of black serial killers in America. Though African-American Graham killed more people than did white Heidnick, the media all but ignored Graham's crimes.
Wow, that is interesting.
It's still horrible. I mean, he had 7 bodies in his house.
And Cookie Monster.
And he talked to Cookie. I mean, normally the media goes for those crazy
crazos. Yeah, they do.
Crazos.
But I guess the cage in the basement, too. And
pit in the basement?
Yeah.
I don't know. But that'll be an interesting one to do maybe next year when we do it. So that was the case of Harrison Graham and his 7 bodies for the 7th Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yep.
Weird, huh?
Very.
Could you imagine the smell of that apartment?
No. That's.
And if you were a neighbor?
Neighbor, that'd probably rot the whole block up. That's disgusting.
Gross.
Great story, Jen.
Thanks.
I'll catch you on the 8th night.
The 8th night. See you on the 8th nightmare.
Before
Christmas.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Remember, lock your doors.
Keep passing by those open windows.
Oh, bye-bye.
Love ya. Investigators started looking at Harrison Graham. They learned that he was known to take long walks on the beach. No. Sorry.
Wait. What?
He took a water bottle. Makes sense, right?
Drink,
hydrate. Yeah. Gotta stay hydrated. Can't be mummified like those bodies. Some clothing for a change of clothes. And a raggedy old Cookie Monster plushie. Sunny day.
Oh,
C is for Cookie. Yeah. And a lot of criminal justice professors. There's a criminal justice professor by the name of to Harrison, mm-hmm. and his crimes is symptomatic of a broader and a rare... Blah, I'm reading this, so bear with me.
I got you.